I wanted to open up this discussion with Trump's immigration sweeps in LA, since it's been on the minds of just about everyone. What do you know, Sam?
I mean, I've just been seeing a lot of the footage of people out in force. It's really giving like the citizen uprising, like, I don't know, giving might not be the right word there, but it's been wild to watch. Just, I don't know, people be fed up with with the system,
so
to a degree that it's like
a little bit of context. Latest updates from CNN indicate about 100 arrests on Monday night in LA. 500 reports are conflicting, but somewhere between 500 and 700 active U.S. Marines are on the ground, as have the National Guard been deployed, which have been federalized. Now,
and this is against the wishes of Gavin Newsom,
the governor. So, for a very two-bit legal analysis, this is the restrictions Trump is facing here. It's called the Posse Comitatus Act. Mm-hmm. So, when you know, in old Western movies, it's called a posse.
Yeah,
posse is actually short for the full name, which is Posse Comitatus.
Oh,
so it's more Latin. That's probably mispronounced. That I'm mispronouncing, and that even if I was pronouncing legally correct, is probably also mispronounced.
Yeah, it would be unintelligible.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. So a Posse Comitatus, a posse is just when you get a bunch of boys together that can be deputized under color of law, etc., and then they go out to enforce the law. You know, that's kind of what a posse is. You get your old Western boys and you ride out.
Yeah.
Posse Comitatus means you cannot use law enforcement to directly ride police action.
Mm.
Right? Now, the exception is what's called the Insurrection Act, which is to say Trump declares an emergency, as if he isn't doing that all the time.
Yeah.
And then that frees a lot of military resources to assist civilian resources directly. So on the ground, LAPD is always on the front lines. National Guard and Marines can deploy to the area, but they cannot directly arrest civilians.
Gotcha.
At least at this time.
Uh-huh.
I think Trump is teeing up and escalating the situation such that he can invoke the Insurrection Act to allow more direct violence. Did you see that picture of the Waymos? The three Waymos burning on the street.
Oh no, I did not see that.
Wild. So there was a bunch of pictures of Waymo self-driving cars are in LA and San Francisco and a couple of other places in California.
Yeah.
They're fully autonomous. They've got cameras all over them. Waymo, the company, has been tapped by law enforcement in the past to get that surveillance because the cars have a 360 degree view of everything they need to navigate, but they also record that footage, and that footage has been tapped by the LAPD and other law enforcement officials. And I think people, it's like this dystopian divide between the tech bros who promise us this frictionless utopia governed by AI and then the vast majority of people experiencing the horrors of not being able to put food on the table.
Yeah, exactly.
And seeing protesters standing with a flag, a Mexican flag, American flag, it doesn't matter, on this burning wreckage of what is a Silicon Valley triumph.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just very poignant to me.
Yeah, no, definitely. It speaks a lot to where we're at. I mean, as far as the rise of the tech right.
Yes.
And there, yeah, I don't know, just the whole preaching abundance, but actually creating a surveillance state.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Direct surveillance state. And not only that, but I think the progression of the right wing media sphere has been we drink liberal tears.
Yeah.
And now we're we crack liberal skulls.
Yeah.
Particularly, did you see the footage of there was footage of an LAPD police officer, horse brigade, trampling a guy.
Oh my God.
And this was behind the line of police. The police line had already advanced 20 feet beyond this guy, and he was laying on the ground, and they run him over with their horses.
Oh
two
my
or three
God.
Times. It was really sad. An Australian news anchor got shot on live television.
Yeah, I saw
and you can
that.
Actually see it wasn't an accident. You can actually see the officer in the background raise his gun and fire at her while she's on camera. And I think the media has been really complicit in this because the headline on that Australian news anchor's injury was police accused of catching, journalist in crossfire.
Yeah.
First off, it's not an accusation. It's recorded.
Uh-huh.
Second off, wasn't crossfire because we saw the guy aim at her.
Yeah, exactly.
Third, catches is a very pro-police, doing a lot of heavy lifting. And I'm very frustrated at our media sphere for how unequipped we are to deal with a visual crisis like this. Because we've become a visual society, which is to say what we see in front of us is exactly what, you know, is exactly what we will perceive.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm interested in your thoughts on that dynamic.
I mean, the irony is, like, it's never been, I don't know, it's never been easier to access this info, but also there's so much of it, you don't know where to look for, like, even a true storyline of what's going on.
Which is, like, even scarier in the advent of AI footage and images.
Yeah.
Which we're like primed to be, especially since the National Guard has only deployed to one single square intersection, right? But the images are all taken from that intersection and shortly beyond it. And it makes everyone think that the entire LA County is on fire.
Yeah.
LA County is mostly fine. Mm-hmm. California has filed a challenge against the Trump administration's deployment saying, hey, man, you can federalize, I should back up a little bit. So the federal government can federalize each state's militia, AKA the National Guard.
Yeah.
And they can say, okay, you're now under federal control, brings in resources, puts local, you know, military, paramilitary authorities directly under the chain of command of the U.S., you know, U.S. High Command. Mm-hmm. But they can, without invoking the Insurrection Act, they can only do that at the request of the governor, which is what you hear most of the time.
Yeah.
That's why California has gone into court and say, hey, man, we haven't requested this. Mm-hmm. You also haven't declared an emergency as required by federal statute in this circumstance, and yet the armed forces are here anyways.
Yeah.
You can't use them for law enforcement yet.
Yeah.
Whether or not that will hold up, that's hard to say.
I mean, based on Trump's truths, I feel like he's not going to concede to that without a fight.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough.
Yeah.
And it's also even harder because the perceptions in our society is everything. Mm-hmm. How much do you think the death rate by police have changed in this country since the 2020 George Floyd protests? Like, give me a guess. Like, percentage increase.
Okay. I'd say a 5% decrease.
5% decrease?
Yeah.
There's actually been an 18% increase.
Oh my God.
Since 2020. Ugh. George Floyd, if we're measuring by outcome of results, died for nothing. The protest.
We learned nothing.
Worse than nothing. It's increased 18% in 5 years. And we're only halfway through 2025. Jesus. And that trend has shown no sign of stopping.
That is horrifying.
And who do you think the most, that's horrifying. I concur there. But who do you think the most killed population per 100,000 capita is by minority in the U.S.?
I'm going to guess at black people, African-Americans.
African-Americans per 100,000 per capita can 6.6 or so can expect to die by police annually on a per capita basis. However, Native Americans expect to die at 6.8 per 100,000. So what's horrifying about that story is both those numbers are horrifying and they're very close together, but no one's giving a shit about the biggest, like, the Native Americans aren't even in the news.
Yeah.
Right. Something like 20% of reservations don't even have like plumbing, running water, or electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some communities it's closer, and that's a national average. I think some communities it's closer to 40 or 50%, which is abject poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And what's horrifying about that is that the perception isn't even on where the problem is worst.
Yeah.
It is worse. And we're also nowhere approaching that awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I despair when I hear those figures because I hear people talking about the plight of XYZ, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. It is clear your media diet has so directly influenced exactly what to care about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And I don't know how to fix that problem. I think spend a lot of time thinking about that.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things like with what you were talking about with the LA, I don't know what to call it. What are people calling it?
Riots.
Even? Riots, yeah.
I mean, that's politically charged.
Exactly. But like, I hesitate to even label it because it sheds light on, LA protests. I think LA protests, I should have started with that. But, I mean, the way that it's covered by each side, like, I mean, you can be digesting the same info as someone, but they could be reading the New York Post, God forbid, where it's like, scallywags, take downtown, like, in I don't know. The New York Post headlines sometimes, they are just wild.
I think the sane washing, the media landscape is completely unprepared to deal with a situation where flooding the zone is the default.
Yeah.
Right? A rumor and speculation clashes with traditional journalism because on one hand, our news cycle is so fast now, you have to rely on rumors, speculation, anecdote if you want to be relevant.
Uh-huh.
And traditional journalism is like, go carefully, track with sources.
Yeah.
That was all awesome when the speed of information was a tenth of what it is now.
Yeah.
Because you could keep up with everything and everyone was on an even playing field. Now you have people who don't care about those issues running ahead of everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's been so... I have no good solution for that because you know that the great injustice is that all like under the desk news, Aaron Parnas, a bunch of these like legal commentary, political TikTokers and social media experts where people get their news, they rely on traditional media.
Yeah.
That's where they get their head. And yet no one trusts CNN brands more than they trust their TikToker that has redigested the same headlines that CNN just put out.
Or God forbid, based it off of 5 tweets that they saw.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think these creators, and don't get me wrong, I think these creators have a very specific and vital niche in our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. They make information more accessible and more personal, and you know who to hold accountable if they get it wrong.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they hold themselves out as specific journalists, and that is often not the case. They don't go through the records. They don't appear at the press briefings. Though that is its own problem. They don't like do the ground pounding investigative work.
Yeah.
They just grab the headlines and then post on their TikTok account as soon as possible because it's about speed. Lives depend on this video. 60% of domestic violence victims go without legal representation. For the 1 in 4 women who experience DV in their lifetimes, this access gap has devastating consequences. You don't know this about me, but before I ran this podcast, I built Songbird, a custom-built document drafting engine that helps self-represented individuals seek the protection of the courts using technology and software. Songbird helps them organize their thoughts, organize their exhibits and evidence, and even make sure that their ability to understand their paperwork is never what holds them back from seeking justice. And what's important to know is that it's practically free, only costing users a single dollar. This matters because my team has been nominated as a finalist for a Reisman Award, for our development of the Songbird platform. A Reisman Award is the largest community legal impacts award in the legal industry, and I need your help because it's won by popular vote. If you draw value from the community work we do here, or just want to see community projects like Songbird succeed, go to the link in our bio to vote for Hemet Law's nomination. If I win, you have my word that the team at Hemet Law and at Gossip Without Prejudice will do everything in our power to be the forces for good you, our community, and the entire legal profession deserve. Thanks so much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, and even within traditional, like, for context on me, I used to work at a news organization before here.
Yeah, tell me about your time in traditional journalism.
Yeah.
Like, this has been very topical for your experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, so even good journalism is not incentivized. Like, it's you are going to get the most amount of clicks if you get an article out as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the article that takes off. Like, I mean, even in my previous role at Out There Colorado, which was under a bigger media group,
the media syndicate,
we would publish an initial look at a news story and it would get 6x as much reach as then, okay, we publish a follow-up that has statements from the sheriff's department that clarifies what's going on. You know what I mean?
That clarifies and specifies is not a part of our media landscape.
Exactly. But that news piece has already gone out. And so all journalists, regardless of where they're working, because, I mean, it's pay-per-click, but...
It's pay-per-click now, but like online advertisements, which are now available to a lot of journalism sources, pay a fraction of print advertisements, which is traditionally where media got all of its funding, was the print advertisements.
Yeah.
So they've lost like 85% of their funding and then they found like a penny on the sidewalk.
Exactly.
And so to get those clicks is so vital.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like people like really mischaracterize it as like, oh, these evil journalists are trying to get an article out with as little information as possible just to blah, blah, blah. But there's just so many environmental factors of like, just like your boss above you, like it's like, oh, I got the most viral article. Like we had a ticker board up on the screen that would show what articles were getting the most clicks. And so like there's just, I mean, it just naturally forms. These algorithms have infiltrated every single part of how journalists and writers write about every single thing. Because that, I mean, the screen was right above my desk. Like, there were screens all over the office showing, like, okay, I didn't have the most viral article today. You know what I mean? And that, like,
that feels so toxic, because it's like your worth is so directly monetized by the whims of people you don't know who don't care about you. And they just put out, like, not AI slop, but they put out, like, 50 articles per week.
Yeah.
And the articles inherently say nothing because you can't write anything in them.
Exactly. Uh-huh. It's and they're incentivized to just do a restatement of the press release by the sheriff's office. Yep. Like, you get the sheriff's office. I mean, my old email had hundreds and hundreds of emails every single day, because it would be like a release from this office, release from this office. And you're naturally incentivized to be like, okay, the sheriff said this, boom, 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 here's a quote. Okay, that one's ready to go. And so even in that, you're already biased, because you're only printing the sheriff's office's statement. And like, it's just really corrupted. I can't I can't overstate it enough. Every single part of the process.
And like, I mean, like, that's why I wanted to do this project, because I got really tired. Like, just so everyone knows, podcasts don't make money. Yeah. I pay with my own money. I pay a team of, depending on how you count, 3 people to work on this podcast and donate like 15 hours of my time per week after those 3 people do a lot of work for me. And we make almost no money. And this podcast studio, this video equipment was like a lot of money to set up and put together, and then work out the workflows to get it to our editors and get it published on time. And even then, we still haven't figured out a full publication schedule.
Yeah.
I could not imagine doing anything like this if my funding wasn't coming from somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't coming from somewhere else. Wasn't like coming from somewhere else, completely unencumbered by other people's judgment. So like, you can have investors, you're accountable to the investors. So even if you have unlimited money in theory, it's often not unlimited in practice. I'm in the dual, like, I have expertise, knowledge to speak on the subject, and then those 2 things. That 4-part test, I don't think exists hardly anywhere else on planet Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who knows where we are headed, but I'm continuously in despair of like how, like, if you just dangle the keys in front of the people on social media, they'll just grab it. And then that's what they think now.
Yeah. Well, and even to add to that, like, I mean, no funding gets, like, you make money off of the clicks, obviously, but like, the reason that Colorado Springs, where I came from, had a local paper was because a billionaire wanted a private project. And he wanted his friends to be able to write op-eds.
Yep.
Like, in my opinion, I hope I'm not burning any bridges, but I think it's pretty publicly, like, Billy Anschutz loves that he and his friends can write op-eds in the local paper
and have the local paper's, like, credibility.
And the op-eds get printed right next to the news articles.
Yep. So they look factual.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and even that, like, every aspect of this is, like, okay, you can't make any money. Well, you might as well keep it alive. Like, I don't know whether you say it's as a vanity project, but as a, like,
something.
Yeah. It's like a pillar. I mean,
well, it's like a projection of soft power. Mm-hmm. Like, the Trump Elon fallout struck me in that, I had long predicted that, like, 2 egos would collide and they'd fight a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right. But that's not what surprised me. What surprised me is that how much of the world now is determined by the whims and moods of not governments or political parties or markets. It's by specifically the relationship between 2 people, like the DOJ, the SEC, the FTC, non-players on the political and economic and cultural stage. It's just Trump, and the president of the United States, and the richest man on the planet now don't like each other. And so now we've got market fluctuation because everyone's pricing in what they think about Tesla.
Exactly.
Like, Trump's individual opinion on what he thinks about you now has more impact on my life than whatever Congress is doing.
Yeah.
And that's, it just struck me. It struck me so hard. I was reading through it's why we don't do so much breaking news on here. It's like, we all know we're reading the same headlines. You guys don't need me to tell you it's bad. And I've resisted, you know, some of my team has advised me that like more headlines would get us more views, but I've resisted that so far because like I don't want us to all be just wallowing and like Trump does something bad again. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like,
well, and that's part of the strategy.
Yeah, that's part of the strategy because like there are so like strict scrutiny, law and chaos, opening arguments, a bunch of other, you know, lawyers behaving badly, all these other legal podcasts, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Right? That's how they got their audiences. They do like 3 uploads a week and they're like, here's what Trump did. Here's why bad. Here's the procedure he lost. That's a 15-minute segment. Do that 4 times. That's an hour. Do that 2 or 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. That's your content, right? Yeah. And it helps. And it's sort of just like audio doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Right, like it evokes that negative reaction, and because like I said this a long time ago, last February when we first started this podcast, ancient episodes that are done in my opinion far worse, don't watch them. is that I was like, awareness is not control.
Yeah.
Right, and so we so often reach for awareness of problems, but these podcasts, they give you no fucking way to like do anything about it except, hey, listen in next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Support our Patreon. Like, and so I've been hesitant to involve myself in that. I'm interested to know your thoughts on where you land.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I've said this to you before, but like the Trump administration using rage bait as policy.
Oh yeah.
Like rage bait as policy, I think has never been more relevant. I mean, I think you can like think of like, I mean, even Stephen Colbert suffered from this for a while. Oh, yeah. I think Stephen Colbert is immensely talented, amazing, but I think all the roasts of his coverage of the first Trump term was very well earned because it was just like orange man bad, this is bad, and then it's like, okay, have a great night. Like, and there's no solution there. And like, I mean, to be fair, what solution is there? But when you build an outrage machine to facilitate the rage bait machine,
yep,
you aren't making progress. You're playing into the hands of the rage bait machine.
Yeah.
Because the rage bait machine relies on the outrage machine.
Right. And that's why I also, again, media complicit, media bad. Not that I'm an anti-media guy, being in media. But like, it's like, every time I see like a Reddit post and it's like Trump does something stupid and I'm like, no, you dipshit. He got you. You put it on the front page of Reddit.
Yeah.
That's free advertising. Mm-hmm. Like attention. This is why the Democrats lost, is that attention is the currency.
Yeah.
Right. Charlie Kirk goes to Jordan Peterson and all these, and Ben Shapiro and all these guys, they go to college campuses and debate nitwits and use the same points anytime. And their publicity team even lets them lose, quote unquote, because then whether they win or lose, the clip goes viral and you know about them, right? That's what Jubilee does with like Jordan Peterson versus 20 atheists, right? They're not going to stop doing that format because we all rage about it and it ends up on my fucking For You page and you guys boost it in the you know, royal we sense.
Yeah.
And it's such an ironclad formula because the only way to short circuit that victory cycle is to unplug the servers.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do that under any circumstance. And so I see like Leader Jeffries in the Democrat, you know, in the House, and Chuck Schumer with the ghost of Nancy Pelosi like hovering over him. I see these, like the fucking, there was like a government accountability seat given to a gentleman who was like 79 years old, passed over AOC to give it to him.
Right. And then
he fucking died of esophageal cancer 7 months later.
Uh-huh.
And he had announced his diagnosis when he was appointed as the chair of the committee.
Yeah.
And that shit like that, like, makes me lose my mind.
Uh-huh.
It's like, to be clear, I'm not a Democratic shill. I lean left, but I hold a lot of, you know, like conservative economic policies, not to be one of those fucking guys, because I run a business and I think that like one of the American greatest prosperity engine is the American corporation, historically speaking. Mm-hmm. Plenty to get into there that we're not going to, but like I see shit like that. I'm like, things could be so much better for everyone everywhere, or if not better, at least avoiding this market chaos controlled by a crypto bro with a Cybertruck and like the oldest geriatric Nazi grandpa.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, we being Gen Z, I'm the very oldest Gen Z, and millennials have no trust in the system because it has no end.
Yeah.
I see no way out of this that's practicable. And I don't know how to react to that, you know, and I think what I want to focus on is informing people of how the system works so that way we can react more to it as we move forward.
Mm-hmm. A more educated populace.
Yeah, hopefully. Or at least one more aware of clickbait.
Yeah.
Right. And I talked to Lindsay a lot about this as she in the early days, she was like, oh, let's cover this. It's breaking news. It's like, oh, Trump says writ of habeas corpus means that he has the right to depose or deport whoever he wants. Mm-hmm. And like, let's cover this. This is vital. It's misinformation. And I'm like, no, it's just a publicity stunt. Yeah. Kristi Noem knows what habeas corpus is. These guys all have Ivy League degrees.
Yeah.
They're not stupid. They're trying to get the headlines and it fucking works every time.
Mm-hmm. The only one who I think is genuinely stupid is Pete Hegseth.
Oh, he's definitely. I
genuinely think he's not.
I'm interested actually to hear your thoughts on this. Cause like a friend of mine reached out. I went to business school with her and she was like, what do you think about it's a distraction, quote unquote, it's a distraction being like a thought terminating cliche. It's a misquote.
Oh yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think there's definitely some truth to that.
Yeah.
But it's hard because I mean, it's like, I don't know. No statement is true all the time. Yeah, like even my rage bait is policy. Like life is a series of it depends and then you die.
Yeah,
like especially
the legal profession.
You say it depends a bunch of times and then you kick the bucket. And
it turned to dust.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about like it is thought terminating for sure. But I think you have to look for the stuff that actually matters, and that's why. The educated populace matters is that you have to be able to like, okay, that like as long as it's something that's happening in good faith, and in good faith doesn't necessarily mean like that they're trying to achieve something.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of shit that is not trying to achieve something.
Or to create the impression of action.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Regardless of like first Doge was $2 trillion and then they got it down to like 100 million.
Yeah.
And then all but 9 million of that was, or excuse me, 100 billion, excuse me, down to 100 billion, down from 2 trillion.
Yeah.
And then all but 9 billion of that was reaffirmed by the big, beautiful bill written by the congressional Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, what was all that for? We destroyed our technological and research supremacy, or at least undermined it.
Yeah.
We grabbed random graduate students from Tufts University off the street with masked interlopers that claim to be ICE agents or, you know, DOJ tactical squads or whatever the hell Kristi Noem is cooking up these days. And and now we just ended up right back at the plateau where we began, but 10% lower.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, my life is not improved by this, except for people who love to watch Fox News and feel like the libs are being owned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, those people, they're having a great time.
Yeah.
It's such a fucked up scenario. This is interesting. I don't know how. I was just thinking about Pete Hegseth because I saw Trump's truth today that he was like. Talking, he just name dropped Pete Hegseth again. I was like, man, why isn't he embarrassed of him at this point? But it's like, well, Pete Hegseth has fucked up so much that he's got to be one of the most loyal guys in the world.
Well, it's the same deal as Brett Kavanaugh, Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The Federalist Society provided, at the time of his appointment, remember, a former high school classmate came forward and accused him of sexual misconduct like 20 or 30 years prior. Like beer? Do you like beer? That shit. I'm sure you saw it. The headlines at the time. But the Federalist Society put forth a list of like 150 people they would have liked on the Supreme Court, right? Mm. And they did not rank them. Like the first guy on the list is just as good as the 100th. Like, and they said that. It's always been the way the Federalist Society has. It's just like anyone on this list. Congressional Republicans, the moment Brett Kavanaugh hit headwinds, could have just pivoted and been like, bring in the next guy. But they didn't. They wasted huge political capital pushing him through, and now that political cost was successful, but it pushed that tarnish off onto the reputation of the Supreme Court, which has only maintained its semblance of legitimacy by maintaining above the scrum.
Yeah,
and every time they put a guy or girl on the Supreme Court under dubious political or background prospects, if they're anything less than sterling, it ultimately erodes the justice system itself. And I think over the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to see pretty dire consequences.
Yeah.
Guys, I hope you appreciate this commentary. This was just a random chat we decided to put together. Let us know what you think. We'll probably publish this the next day after part two of Alec Baldwin's Brady snafu. Mm-hmm. Just as an apology for making you guys wait so long for that part two. Thank you so much. Leave us a review if you appreciate our insight. Email us at gospel.prejudice@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, questions, comments, concerns. We already got a lot of emails telling us what they think about us. Keep it coming. We'll put these out on socials, see where we get. All right, thanks, guys.
Later.